What's your name, girl? What's your sign?
Man, you must be about your mind.
Great! Beer goggles flying! I'm just trying to unwind!
Now I'm gonna make you dance, get your chance. Yeah, boy, shake that ass. Oops, I mean girl.
Hey!
Hi!
How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good!
Good, I am just sitting by my Christmas tree all lit up.
Your beautifully decorated Christmas tree that your family helped you out with? Is that the one?
Yes, that's the one, but I did majority of the bulbs. Elizabeth, I will give full props to. She put the lights on really well.
Mm.
And then Ella was just like shoving bulbs at the inside the bottom of the tree. So I just let her do her thing. And then when she left, I fixed everything. And it's
Listen,
beautiful.
She had fun and that's what mattered.
Exactly. I didn't care. Like, she was like grabbing a couple things off the shelf or whatever. And they're like, Ella, no. I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, as long as she's having fun, like, I don't care, you know, like,
yeah,
it was a great time. But we'll get into it. Well, I'll give you the dish for my family dinner in a few. How's your week been?
It's been good. It was a weekend full of schoolwork, but I can say now that one of my classes is officially done for this semester. I did it, and yes. I got an A+.
Of course.
So, yeah. My sociology class is done. My last like posting and everything that I did was yesterday. We don't have a final. I took the last test as well yesterday. The syllabus doesn't have a final on there. She didn't say anything about it. And she was like, take the survey. So normally that means the class is over. And yeah, I did it, turned in my final projects and did my last post. And one of my classes is completely done.
Yay. So accomplished.
Yes. And then I have just one more speech in my public speaking class. And then I think I have a final in that one. But his tests seem to be pretty easy. And then in my psychology class, I have one more written assignment that's due on Saturday. And then a final next week. And then that is it. So...
Wow.
We're rounding it out. Three classes down, one more to go.
Look at that. Star student.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice. So yeah, it's been good and I can't wait for this week to be over because then I can just focus on finishing my Christmas gifts. And then it's literally I leave next week to go to Michigan.
That's so nuts. Like I feel like it used to feel like it was like forever away and now it like flew up so quickly. I'm like, wait a minute.
It really did. I mean, like I leave the 17th. I take a half day and I should be in the car by like 2:30 and then I'm driving. So this weekend I have to like finish figuring out which hotel I'm staying at and which like route I'm taking and stuff. But
put
like
Milo in the suitcase and you're good to go.
I mean, I wish. No, he's staying
here.
No, you don't. Honestly, though.
That would be chaos. You two on the road.
We did it before, but it was...
Like
so,
Bonnie and Clyde.
Literally. Okay, so whenever I would travel a lot for Chipotle, and then I want to hear about your story, but whenever I would travel a lot for Chipotle and I would be gone for like, you know, a week and a half or like longer than a few days, I would take the cats with me, especially for long openings. Cause also at my other apartment, it was such a small room that I was in. Like, why not? So I'd take them with me to openings and I would get like a pet friendly hotel and they would like hang out in the room, both of them. They were like traveling cats, traveled more than most people in my life. And so they were used to car rides at that point. But before then, it got to the point where when I drove to New York with them, oh my God, Milo, it's a 10-hour drive. Milo didn't shut up for five minutes. Meowing the entire time. And Squish was like meowing back at him to like calm him down. So I exaggerated. He did sleep a few times. But yeah, the first car ride, he was like, what the fuck is going on? Why can't I get out of this?
Did you give him some catnap?
Yeah, and it still didn't do anything.
Didn't take?
No, it didn't take. But,
wow.
But yeah.
And on that note, telling that marvelous story,
yes.
Coming in from stage right, the Zodiac Queen Supreme of the Galaxy, Stacy.
They say cute people get away with anything. I should know.
You've been sitting on that one.
I have been. I felt you so let good it saying it.
A couple of weeks. I love it.
Well, okay. I have to introduce, coming in from stage left, the best Zodiac time. King himself. One would say that he is the zany, Zodiac-tastic, Zachow Keith.
You know, I do have some haters, but I don't really Sagittarius.
I took a drink of my wine and I did not expect that. It took me everything that to just blow this bottle of antioxidants out my nose. Yeah. That was good.
Well, I mean, we're getting into the Zodiac spirit. And someone's birthday's coming up in 15 days.
Yes! And how perfect.
Mm-hmm.
How perfect that you are getting to know more about your actual birth date. Mm-hmm. So close to your birthday.
Right. I mean, I feel like we wanted to do a Zodiac episode like pretty early on and we just didn't like place it.
Oh yeah, it's been a long anywhere. Time coming. I mean, yeah. It's a
what?
Hear that?
No, that cut out for a second.
Someone called me. So good to know if you're using Anchor and someone calls you, it just stops you from being present. So back at it. What was I saying? Oh, Zodiac is a huge part of our friendship.
Yeah, so it's great that I'm figuring out what in the stars and moon makes me tick.
It's so funny. I can't wait to dive into this, but
we have our reoccurring segment, Laugh Attack with Stack.
Yeah.
Where Stacey reads a classic Laffy Taffy joke off her wrappers and then tells us how many she's going to eat to equal out to be like 120 calories.
140 and it's 4.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Okay, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
This is from Casey S. in DeSoto, Missouri. There's a lot of DeSoto, Missouri. I've never heard of this city before, but anyways. Fake. What? Sounds fake.
Sounds fake.
What's the best way to brush your hair?
Use a comb.
Your tone of your voice was
I don't know.
Actually, according to Casey S. from DeSoto, Missouri, it is to hold him firmly by his long ears and brush gently.
Yeah, that was a miss.
Oh, was Missouri. That a miss?
Casey. What?
I thought you were going to stop it. That was a miss. But
say the whole joke again. I need it in continuity form. Go.
What is please. The best way to brush your hair? Hold him uh-huh. firmly by his long ears and brush gently.
How is hair spelt, though? Is hair spelt H-A-R-E or H-A-I-R?
Obviously, it's spelled H-A-R-E.
It's spelt like that in the joke?
Yes. H-A-R-E.
Then why didn't you tell me that instead of leading me to think it was hair, like our hair
follicles? You did that on your own. You could have gone one way. You could have known this is a silly joke. It's a play on words. You could have assumed. But no, you decided to go with hair, like long, beautiful hair, like hair. But you went with that. So I can't, you know, give away
the But when
joke.
You read the joke, you should have been like, and hair is spelled.
No.
And if you said that, easy. I'd be like, oh, then hold down the fucking rabbit and brush it.
Hold down that. The fucking rabbit. Bugs, get your ass down. Let me brush that fucking hair. That's
we ain't got no time for your jokes, rabbit.
No, listen, I would have given it away.
Okay, so now you're trying to play mind games, you and Casey. Nice.
I mean, if you want to take the victim standpoint, that's on you, boo.
No, it's okay. You just misled me.
Let's so find I... out in your chart where this is coming from. No.
Yeah. Okay.
We all have those. But listen, if I would have said hair, you would have gotten it. But it's the whole play on words.
Well, I would have to see it. I want to see their seats.
Let's post it on the Patreon.
Oh, right. You have to be at the four and out. Wait, what's... I think it's 1, 3, and, like, 6.
You made it, right?
Yeah. Oh, which, by the way, listeners of our podcast, last week, on, like, one day, we had, like, 16 plays. Which, like, makes me wonder if someone just, like, listened to them, like, straight through. So, if you're the mystery listener... Please reach out.
I mean, 16, that's six, over 16 hours of someone's life. I'm not even right. Normally up for 16 hours a day.
Right, unless they like played like some of each one was like, this sucks.
I wanted to see if it got better and it just didn't.
I was gonna say maybe it gets better. No, it fucking sucks. Well, reach out to us at twohootsandaholler@gmail.com.
And that's 2HOOTZ
at gmail.com. And the holler. You finished it.
And the holler.
Are you drunk off your wine already?
I had half of my glass already.
So, yes.
And it's actually, I'm learning a lot about wine because for my final speech, it's a persuasive speech.
Oh, it's so persuasive speech? You're slurring your speech?
Speech.
Okay, we're not the Grinch.
Oh, you called me that earlier, though. I was feeling grinchy. But anywho.
Called you out.
You did. But my final speech is, a glass of wine a day can keep the doctor away. And I'm learning a lot about wine and lots about antioxidants.
Yeah, because like one glass of red wine a day is like, okay.
Yeah, and it's got some great properties for you, actually.
It's good for your heart. Now, does Moscato count?
No.
Does it count if it's two bottles?
Here's the thing.
I'm asking for myself.
I would love to tell you, I even put in my speech is that, you know, red wine. I even say, like, now the choice of wine that you make has a big effect on the benefits you receive, and that red has 10 times more of a specific oxidant than its blonde counterpart. I thought that was a really cute play on words. But white wine.
Franzia or bust.
Rough.
Oh. But hey, it gets the job done.
But actually, white wine doesn't have many health benefits because I found this out, is that all of the stuff, the benefits from it, the antioxidants and all that stuff, come from the skin of the grapes. And in the process of making wine, red wine is fermented with the skin, where white wine is not. And that's how it gets its color.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like bread, when they're like, you got to eat the crust for all of the nutrients. You got to have the fermenting of the skin. Sounds terrifying.
Ew.
With the wine for all of the good stuff. So think about that next time that you're...
Everything I learned about wine, I learned from that one episode of I Love Lucy where she's stomping grapes.
I've never seen that.
That's like one of the most iconic episodes.
So can I tell you a secret?
Well, you never seen one episode of I Love Lucy?
I've never seen one full episode of I Love Lucy.
Oh, that's so upsetting. It's the fucking basis of every fucking comedy.
Yeah?
Yes! I'm like getting so angry.
I'm like, I just asked a question.
I snapped.
Literally. But no, tell me more. Like, what?
It was the first, like, three camera sitcom, and it started in, like, 54. So that's, like, using it in, like, the center and, like, on the left and the right side.
Oh, I didn't know and that.
Yeah. And it's just like the earliest like situational comedy. And I watch like modern day shows and I'm like, that was on I Love Lucy.
So basically
everyone copied off I Love Lucy.
Wow.
I have the complete series. It genuinely like makes me laugh too. Like people think, I feel like they translate something in like black and white, they think it's going to be like boring and outdated, but like it's genuinely funny.
Well, I'll have to actually give it a shot.
I agree. It's not like I don't, you know how like some modern day shit, I'm gonna sound like so old, but like it can be like racy or like all sex or like this, it's just like this, I don't know, it's like not like that. It's just like
good humor.
It's good humor. It's smart. Right. It's like good humor without having to be crass. And yes, I am a grandma. I am 83. And I love
you don't like rude, you don't like crazy crass humor. It's not your thing. You like a little bit of it.
Well, kind of, but I really love all those like parody movies, like the Scary Movie 2, 3, 4. Like,
oh, yeah.
I do love those. Like White Chicks, Family Guy. Yeah, I think those movies are fucking hilarious. I guess it's situational.
Yeah, I was gonna say time and place, geography joke, you know?
Yes, exactly. But before we dive into the Age of Aquarius, I didn't really get to tell you about my family dinner.
And I cannot wait to hear about it.
So my dinner was on Sunday with my family. And
this is like your first like dinner that you posted, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. And I've lived here like a year and a half. but I invited my parents and my brother and sister-in-law and my two nieces. So that's two households, Gretchen. So it's okay.
Big Gretchen, it's okay.
Big Gretchen, it's cool. So I cleaned the house boots down like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Sunday I got up at like 10:30 and I played Animal Crossing a little bit, and then I cleaned for like 5 hours straight. My hands, wow. Stacy, were pruned.
Oh my god.
Swear to god, from cleaning. And it's not like it was like my place was like just this pigsty, because it doesn't get to that point. It's just this had to be like fucking like walk through conditions, not just because my mom is very like white glove test when she walks in, but like it was the first time my whole family has been here at the same time since I moved in April 2019.
It's a big deal.
So everything had to be perfection. And a week like leading up to it, you did assist me with the menu for the evening, because I had like the entree and stuff, but we got like the mimosa sangria, my bad.
Sangria.
So I made fucking pot roast with potatoes and carrots. We did Caesar salad before dinner. I got like French, like a baguette, cut up the bread and whatnot. And I made Grinch Rice Krispie treats for dessert. And everything went swimmingly. I made the sangria. Good. It was bomb.com. Like, my mom loved it.
I was going to say, in your picture, only you two were drinking it.
Alex and Elizabeth had one, too. But maybe it was before dinner, I think. It was.
So you had dinner, and then you did the tree, right?
Yeah, put the tree up. It went really. And then I put the Grinch on. And Ella was like, I don't like the Grinch. And I was like, oh, you're going to learn to love her and this him and this family, sweetheart.
Which one did you put on?
The scary one.
Yeah.
I know, which is going to be our next drink along, everyone. But then Ella got like more and more like interested in it. And then she was getting tired. And then I have some like Pokemon, like, you know, those like Lego sets I do for the Pokemon that I like. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. Ella found them like in my bedroom and she kept playing with them. And Elizabeth felt bad because she was like taking pieces apart. And I was like, it's fine. I was like, as long as she doesn't swallow it. Like, that's my main concern. But like Ella kept playing with my Pokemon Legos. She found like my mystery machine of Scooby-Doo. Like, it's a complete series, but it's in like a rollable like mystery machine van. So she's playing with that. I have a couple Funko Pops out. She's like playing with those. And then when they're getting everything together and trying to get her jacket on, Ella was like, I don't want to leave. And I was like, oh. I was like, that was worth the hours.
That was worth the grueling hours.
Like, I put hours into that dinner, and it went swimmingly. Like, sorry to report, there's no drama. There was no, like, real drama or anything. Like,
I was waiting for Alex. Shelly shows up.
We joked about that. They're like, what time is Shelly going to be here? I'm like, any minute. She's on her way.
She's going to have her mask. She's on her way.
My dad's birthday story. Remember that? Like, looking over the... Oh, anyway. That's another story. Never mind. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah, put the Grinch on. Elizabeth likes putting the decorations on the... or the lights on the tree, so she put the lights on really well. My parents, they got here first, and they gave me a little gift that they... my mom wrapped, and it was, like, a little pride flag ornament.
That's such a big deal, too.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's really nice of K&K.
Yeah, K&K. Kirk and Kathy. So I have that on my tree. And yeah, I would call it an A+ dinner experience.
I'm so glad. You were so nervous about it. And I'm so glad it went so well.
Yeah, everyone loved everything and loved my place. And
dude, food. The pictures looked so yeah, good.
I got some good pictures out of it too.
So, like, what you cooking for me when I come home?
SpaghettiOs.
I mean, honestly, I haven't had those in so long. How many calories in a can, though?
You're like, oh, half now, half in a couple days.
What? Literally, it's like counting out by O's. It's like 3 calories per O, and I have to like count out like the individual
lighting O's. Them out of the can. Like, it's the most depressing sight I've ever seen in my life. Like, you counting out O's and SpaghettiOs.
And then there's like the big ones and the small ones, and I'm like cutting the big ones in half to be the size of the small.
But then you realize you have to calculate in the sauce. Like, you completely forgot that factor, so you don't know how much sauce you're gonna
start
have.
Over.
I have to start over. That's very on brand of you. One time, listeners of the pod, one time Stacey sent me a picture of her hand full of like crushed up fucking chips, and she goes, this counts as one chip. I was like, what?
Listen, if I would have used them as puzzle pieces, they would have added up to one piece.
Is this how you like rationalize it in your head? When you...
Yeah, when they're like the tiny little pieces like that, yeah.
Okay.
Because listen, you can only have 12 Doritos. You've got to make them last. You know a serving size of Doritos is 12? Who can have just 12 Doritos? 150 calories for 12 Doritos. Are you kidding me? That's a quad.
Is that what's in like a little like personalized, like personal bag of them?
Yes.
With one serving. Why don't you just get like a bulk pack of those instead of like a big bag?
They don't sell them at the grocery store.
You would probably find like a 6-pack.
I mean, like, I'd have to like go. I get my groceries delivered. Where, Keith? Where is there a Target?
You went to one in the beginning of the semester.
Okay, yes. And I had to drive 35 minutes to go there and do it.
Sometimes the rush is worth the price you pay. You know how the Christmas tree store has like food in like the back corner that's probably okay but maybe questionable?
Huh?
The Christmas tree store sells food.
What?
Yeah. They have like a grocery section.
Okay.
They have everything.
Do you trust it?
Well, that's the thing. So I was like kind of browsing. I was like, la la la. I was like, hope no one from the Trump rally comes in and shoots up the Christmas tree store. That anxiety plagued me.
The entire time.
The entire time. I was like, two guys walked in, two white cis hetero men just walked in. I was like, this is it.
This I'm gonna die.
I'm holding all these Christmas gifts.
Wow.
This is it. So I'm going through the groceries, and there's like regular sized boxes of Cheez-Its. And how much like would you on average think you would pay, like, for a regular, like, box of Cheez-Its? Like, pretend this is, like, the Price is Right.
Oh, God, Michigan prices or New York prices?
I don't know.
$4.25.
The boxes were there for $1.49. And I checked the expiration date, of course, and it expires January 30th, 2021.
Holy fuck.
So I got two boxes.
For like under $5?
Yeah, like $3.
You need to go shopping there more.
I do. I honestly have not been, probably since like maybe the beginning of summer. I don't know if I've been there since COVID. I don't remember.
Wow.
So anyway, now that we've talked about my shopping, I think our main segment of the episode,
mm-hmm.
the long-awaited Zodiac Act Zach Attack. This is one of Stacy's, I would say, favorite topics, things to discuss.
It is
life interest, would you say?
It really is. I really love this, and I know it's a pseudoscience and all that kind of stuff, but like, hear me out, folks. The moon's gravitational pull on the Earth affects our tides. So who are we to say that the rest of the planet's gravitational pull does not have an effect on us as well? And that's all I'm gonna say.
And that's the episode, folks.
And that's it, folks.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 19.
Hoots and a holler.
A real head scratcher.
But for real, you know what I mean? When everyone's like, oh, it's fake. And it's like, listen, well, there's a lot of things out there that a lot of people say are fake.
Oh, 100%.
So, you know, that's my reasoning. The moon affects our tides, where depending on how far, how close it is on our planet, and we've proven that. So why is it impossible to think the other planets could as well?
So may I play devil's advocate?
100%.
Like Capricorn ass.
Fuck.
Keith swooping in. So I guess it's like, what do you think the difference is? Or, okay, so compared to like, star charts, whatever, reading your sign and getting like more in depth about it, opposed to like the Sunday paper having your horoscope on page like FC, where like for like Libra it's like you'll find something good today but maybe not, like
right,
the most like vague fucking sentences that can relate to anyone.
And horoscopes give like, I feel, astrology a bad rap in a sense. Because the more that you learn about it, and if it truly piques your interest, you can just keep diving and diving and diving. Mm-hmm. But it took me learning. And of course, like, you read the horoscope and you're like, oh yeah, that's me. And it's got your lucky numbers and all this stuff. It's like, no, that's like that version of like a fortune cookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you go in more depth and you learn about the placement of the planets and your entire chart as a whole, and where those planets are in the sky and your houses and where, how they all play together, you get a bigger picture. And it's not ever going to predict your future. Let's just be honest. It's not like the horoscopes are like, oh, you're going to have a good day today, right? It's not going to predict your future.
It might rain, maybe.
Right? If you're lucky. But it gives you a full picture and hopefully some understanding of, you know, not necessarily of like, yeah, kind of like, what are some of the influences? Like I said, the planets have to influence the Earth. So this influences you as a whole. And it just gives you some deeper understanding of who you are. And then you can take with that as you will. It's like, I don't like look into someone's natal chart and I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to be super successful by this time in your life. Right.
You're not going to say that to me?
Wow. No, I'm sorry. I'm here to break it to you, sir. But but for instance, if there is a planet that, you know, has those types of qualities in a intense part of your house that deals with money, you might be, you know, it might be coming more naturally to you just based on your overall placement of things. So I get it. Horoscopes give it such a bad rap, and I won't 100%. I don't believe in this either. When you dive into like learning more about it and the methodology behind it, and learning about houses and the placements, and then on top of it, how they interact with each other,
yeah,
then it's like a whole different ball game.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
Stacey prepared my neonatal. What's it called?
Your natal chart.
Neonatal nurse.
Yeah, like Kathy.
No, she doesn't treat infants.
But one thing before we dive into your chart, I felt that we could give kind of like the listeners like a little crash course.
I thought you just astrology. Did.
No.
Oh, I was mistaken. I apologize.
You have so much to learn, young grasshopper.
Oh my goodness. So, well, let me get my fuzzy blanket out of my bag that I bought for me today when I was Christmas shopping for people.
Oh my god, don't retreat to the couch and like curl up.
I
caught you playing your puzzle.
That was one time. And I'm
people don't forget.
You're in your bed. What's wrong with me being on my couch?
It was how you got into your couch.
What? Oh, you mean after the puzzle?
Yeah.
That was salty for a second.
You were so pissed.
I thought you knew I was doing it. I got this like black camo fuzzy blanket for $5.
Ooh, send me a pic.
You're nasty. Here, I'll put a box of the Cheez-Its in it too with the price tag on it.
Please.
Okay. This is all
like a whole handful of how many calories.
This is all going in the podcast.
Perfect.
I feel like I would expect nothing less.
Exactly.
Okay, here's the Cheez-Its, my blanket.
Settle in, kids.
When I'm Christmas shopping, I'm like, you know who would like that? Me.
Me.
I had a few things for myself. I cannot.
What was the first question that I asked you when you were like, I just went shopping at Five Below? And I was like, did you actually get gifts for anyone else?
You said that today?
Yeah.
Wait. Let me look.
It was when we were on the phone.
Oh, I thought you meant via text earlier.
No.
My beam.
That's okay. People forget. It's okay.
Whatever.
Are you ready? Are you settled in?
I've done been ready. I sent you that picture you demanded.
Okay, heard.
Heard.
So,
heard.
Astrology, folks.
What, did you look at the picture?
No, I was gonna wait, but
you demanded to see my new blanket.
Ooh, it's cute, and look at that Cheez-Its.
Hey.
Oh, that's why it's. That's why they're like marked down, because it's a fucking soccer branded win a soccer experience. That shit ended months ago. No wonder it's only $1.49.
What do you mean?
The box has a soccer ball on it.
So?
Branded for you to win an experience for probably an outdated contest.
So?
I'm just saying, you struck out. It's good, but no wonder it was $1.49.
So you're a hater.
Yeah, because I can probably only have like 12 of those Cheez-Its.
Here, I'll tell you. 27 crackers is 150 calories.
Oh my god, good thing I just ordered Cheez-Its, but I got the duos. I got two boxes of them because it was 2 for $6.
Wow.
Yeah. But you still beat me with the 2 for $3, so.
I know. Okay, so.
Anywhoozle.
Tell us about the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Well, we actually are on the precipice of entering the Age of Aquarius, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. What'd you call it?
Yep.
But it's true. That's why, like, we've had this air of revolution and all of these things going on. It's literally been written in the stars. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an expert, 100%, folks. I'm just someone who really likes it and likes to spend time going through it.
Disclaimer alert.
There are so many people who do this for a living, and they do so well. And you should check them out. There's this one girl on TikTok who, she's amazing. But anywhoozle, really quickly, you got 12 signs in the zodiac, and it starts with Aries and it ends with Pisces. And you have 4 elements that are represented in the zodiac. You've got fire, earth, air, and water.
Avatar.
All right. Avatar, you are the airbender. So, With that being said, there's also a mode that each of these have. So for instance, Aries, we all know Aries, start of the zodiac, they're a fire sign, but they also have a mode, and there's three modes that a sign could be. It can be either cardinal, fixed, or mutable. And this is something that, you know, people can explain a lot about some of the signs, because cardinal signs, which are like Aries and Cancers and Libras and Capricorns, those are like dynamic signs. They have a lot of action, great force type energies. There's one of each of them. There's a fire sign, a water sign, an air sign, and an earth sign that are cardinal signs. So they're like the first explosion of energy, to help explain a little bit more about the sign.
Okay.
And then you also have fixed signs, which are Tauruses, Leos, Scorpios, and Aquariuses. And those are kind of the people who have really great willpower, or they're really unreceptive to change. Like, those are the signs. They're fixed. They're in place. All that. And then you have your mutables, which are the other ones, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And they're like the ones who are like really adaptable. So not only do you have your signs, you have elements, and then you have modes. And they all blend together and end up being on people's charts. And so basically, wherever you, when you're born in the night sky, everything's placed. Ooh. And then planets can be inside or close to these, you know, constellations that are up there. And that's what determines your natal chart. And they all are in a specific placement, and they all have a different pull on different parts of your life. So when it comes to astrology, you got to know the basics. There's the four elements, the three modes, and then depending on where the planets are in those signs when you're born is what makes up your natal chart. And they all play off of each other to kind of give you a blueprint of kind of your youth, in a sense.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So, with that being said, what is your sun sign, Keith? You know this.
Libra?
No, your sun sign, boo.
Capricorn?
Capricorn! So, like, the sign that normally everyone goes and bases it off of their birthday, like, that's your sun sign. So when you flip back to the horoscope page and like Cosmopolitan,
me,
and you're like, I got to see the horoscope for Capricorn. That's your sun sign. All right.
And then the horoscope's like, hey, skanky bitch. Toss the old look, hag. Win them back. I'm like, ooh.
Nothing you can't do that you set your mind to.
Right.
Love okay, that.
So Capricorn is my sun.
So your son is like...
And I'll never see him again.
Oh, are you okay?
I don't know. Ask the stars, baby.
Oh, well, we're going
what's
to...
What's your sign, baby?
Tell me, what's your sign? Can I get your number?
Oh,
but, so your sun sign is like your birthday, right? Where whatever your birthday is, wherever that falls, that's your sun sign. And the thing about your sun sign is that it kind of represents, in a sense, oh, what was that out there? Cats making noise? So your sun sign kind of represents like your outward energy, who you project yourself to be, in a sense, your ego and all that sense. So before we dive into it, I wanted to give you your entire chart.
Yay.
Because we're going to start with your sun, and that's what everyone knows.
Right.
But I wanted to give you your entire chart.
Yay, I'm excited.
And yeah, and see if there's any, like, exciting things, any nuggets we can find in here.
Laugh the cat with that rap.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
That's a good one. Ooh. What kind of shoes do mice wear?
What kind of shoes? Mice.
And it's spelled all correctly.
Defined correctly.
I can't with you. What kind of fucking shoes do mice wear, Keith?
rat chews.
Rats. We're the rats. No, they wear squeakers.
Oh, okay. That's cute.
That's cute, right? And that was Sid R. from Bonterre, Missouri.
Another miss from Missouri. Do one more.
You said it was cute. No, oh, this cute. One's from Michigan. This girl's from Ann Arbor.
Okay, let's see if she...
This is Raina A. from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
What do you get with a fly, a pet, and a car?
A messy accident?
No, a flying carpet.
A flying carpet.
What do you get with a fly, a pet, and a car? A flying carpet.
Oh, so they were out of order. But if you flip yeah. them. But, yeah. Okay.
All spelled correctly, though, so.
All right. That was all right, cute. All right.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked that.
I did.
All right. So, anyways, let's get back to this natal chart, shall we?
Zodiac, act, zack, chatat, with stack.
Yeah. So if you are curious in finding out what your natal chart is and seeing the placement of everything in the sky when you were born, there's three pieces of information you need. You need your date of birth. You need where you were born, and you also need your time within 15 minutes, because the big piece here is that, you know, the moon basically changes like every 20 minutes, majorly where it is in the sky. So that's why it has to be within 15 minutes, because that's like the range that you can allow. So look at those birth certificates, folks. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people ask for a specific time. It's not just your crazy ex-girlfriend that just needs to know the exact time you're born. If they're asking for it, they're doing a fucking natal reading.
No,
okay?
Yes, no, there was a meme online, and it was like a screenshot of a guy texting his mom, and he was like, "Mom, what time was I born at?" And the mom replies, "Stop talking to her."
Going deep. And that's another thing too. If there's a straight guy who knows about astrology, he fucked up. Because he was with someone that did, and she saw all the shit in his chart, and he was red for filth at how if he knows, he fucked up. So anyways, to get an idea of where everything was in the sky when you were born, to get an idea of it, you can go ahead and do that. There's plenty of websites you can do it through too. So, or you can like learn how to learn everything and do it yourself. That's what I'm trying to do right now with my little book. But very long story short, you can go to websites and get it done. So here's the thing. We're going to go through your chart just to see it. And then I'm going to give you like some like key points throughout it. All right.
Okay. I'm excited.
Here we go. Your sun, which is what you were born with, which it's like, you know, your outward expression, all of that.
My
is
third
Capricorn.
Nipple.
Yes. Just your third nipple. It's Capricorn. And so not only do the planets all have specific meanings, but then the sign does too. But we could do this for the next zodiac episode that we have.
Okay.
But basically, your sun is Capricorn.
Yes.
Which is an earth sign. Your moon is Cancer.
So I had the mothering and the fathering sign in me.
You do. Literally in your masculine and your feminine like placement.
That makes sense.
Crazy.
Makes sense.
Your Mercury is Sagittarius. Your Venus is Scorpio. And your Mars is Sagittarius. So
I'm like nice. And I can be chill.
Your Jupiter is Virgo. Your Saturn is Aquarius. And then for all people born in like our same time, we all have matching Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto's, just because of like how long it takes their orbit to pretty much take place.
Yeah,
it's like that generational type of thing. So there's a group of people who are our age or around our age that have those as well, the placements, and that's like also can kind of coexist with like how people view generations. It's like those further outreaching planets that have like a really big weight on that aspect of the life. So that's how you can kind of justify in the stars these generational pulls and whatnot and who falls into that category. So you and me have the same And most of the people around us, our same age group, will have the same Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which are Cap Scorpio. And then here's the other thing that people also don't talk about much. You have a Lilith and then a North Node. And there's both of those are in Capricorn for you.
Oh.
And then your ascendant is Libra. So let's dive in a little bit more, shall we?
Deeper.
So you have four cardinal signs, which is like four large, intense energy signs. You've got three like fixed, not moving signs, very set in their ways. But then you also have three like go with the flow signs. So it's interesting. It's very balanced. Okay. You've got two fire signs, four earth signs, one air sign, and three water signs.
Okay.
So the sun, it's who you are outwardly expressing. And with your sun in Capricorn, you're going to love this. He is honest, reserved, circumspect, honorable, and strong-willed. Quietly ambitious within the realms of possible. He likes and takes on responsibility and can work in the social domain.
Oh my God, that is like really me.
Now listen to possible issues.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. Okay.
No, it's just true. You got to see both sides. It's duality. Nothing is neither. It is sometimes bitter with a mistrustful mind.
What? I knew you felt that way about me.
So, yeah, right? That's your Capricorn. That's your sun.
Interesting.
And now your moon. Okay, so the moon is the emotional responses. It's kind of like your unconscious. It's the thoughts you keep to yourself and that feminine energy and that it's usually your emotions in a sense. And your moon is in Cancer, which is one of the most technically emotional signs on the chart. So think about it is that you're very likable and sociable, but you're sensitive to environmental conditions and surroundings. You like, in the sense you're very perceptive, okay? Uh-huh. He likes home, habits, comfort of his little world, very caring and protective of loved ones.
Yes, that's great.
Now, potential issues, of course, subject to indolence, inertia.
What's that mean?
I think lack of inertia, or like if you don't have it to like keep you going.
I just fall down. Chicken
Jack in your bed.
I fall down.
He is impressionable and too sensitive, and then maybe family problems. Oh.
Interesting. I don't see it. Okay, this is, yeah, I can see this.
Right, and this is just your first two. Okay, so now your Mercury, it represents your communication. And your Mercury is Sagittarius, which is a fire sign. And the Sagittariuses, they're like the ones that are like, whenever someone's like wanderlust, those are Sagittariuses in a sense. So for your style of communication is enthusiastic, humorous, and sometimes moralistic, has strong opinions, and will often be eager to share them.
Yeah.
Democrat, philosopher, tolerant, respectful of laws, interested in foreign places and learning more languages, believes that everything teaches you something.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah. All right. Your Venus, okay? Venus. Your Venus is rocket number 9, take off to the floor.
Our cabaret, and like no one knew that song, but it's okay. Yeah. We love it.
And we were living for it.
Literally. Okay, we'll dive into that.
We'll get to it. Okay. So Venus represents an interest in emotions and values. So it's like how you exchange those with others. It's not necessarily like how you love, like a lot of people think it is. It's like just how you exchange those things with others.
Okay.
With emotions. So yours is in Scorpio, and Scorpio is, it's interesting because like your thoughts with your moon are Cancer, which are water sign. And everyone always forgets that Scorpios are also water signs. Right? They're very emotional, but with a very hard exterior and a sharp, like, stinger.
My mom. Literally.
And so your Venus is a Scorpio, and it's, like, sensual and passionate when in this communication with others, in the communication of your emotions. And then passions run hot and cold, full of ardor and desire when the partner needs to be able to match his level. can be jealous and possessive. If disappointed or deceived in love, you become bitter. But usually you're very loyal. So think about it, like the scorpion. It's like, I'm going to give you everything, but the second you fuck with me, I'm going to fucking inject you with that poison, bitch, and like watch you die and not care.
Why are you... Why are my zodiac charts reading me?
Listen, it means that you're a strong-ass bitch, okay? Deal with it.
Yeah. True.
So... Mars is like your physical energy, right? It's your desire for action. Mars is the planet of war or the god of war. So think about it. It's like your intensity when it comes from your desire for action and your physical energy. And again, it's a fire sign. You're Sagittarius again.
Ooh.
So when you think about that, it's a lively spirit. You know, you can be sarcastic, critical, but also proactive.
Yes.
He is quarrelsome at times. He expresses himself easily and does what he wants. And then it says,
"That's
like
me.
It's you." And then success is at the end of the road. You are capable and you act quickly. So, like when you think of something, you know, you're not afraid of doing that. So,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes you can be a little hard to understand because you seem very easygoing and you love a good joke, but other times like you're very intense and passionate, and some people like don't know how to read that. They don't know how to handle that, you know, but you're confident about that.
They don't know how to treat me.
They don't, bitch. You know, So then our next one is Jupiter.
Venus.
So Jupiter represents like expansion and grace. All right. So it's thinking about like how you can expand yourself, usually knowledge and things along those lines. And your Jupiter is in Virgo, which is an earth sign,
yes.
Which is very interesting because even though you have a lot of them, the placements of them are like, you got a lot of water in between them.
Mm.
So Jupiter and Virgo, you attract a lot of good fortune when you're helpful and honest and orderly, but you also pay attention to details. And the service industries, nutrition, and health, and you do work at a doctor's office, are prosperous avenues.
I was you're a waiter for 5.5 years, service industry.
You were. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're practical and you're also have a lot of technical knowledge that are very valued.
Yeah.
You're real problem solvers and others like that about you. They appreciate it.
And you
don't always feel lucky. Like you don't always feel lucky. You feel like sometimes you get the short end of the stick, but like you value hard work and you think that that's going to get you far and expand you.
I like that.
I like it. We're almost there.
I like it like that.
I like that. So this is your one air sign, Keith. This is your one air sign besides your ascendant.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because it's Saturn. And so Saturn is like contraction and effort. So it's interesting. It's an air sign and it's Aquarius, which you know how you love Aquarius.
I don't really.
I know.
I think Gemini would have to be my least favorite sign because I've...
We're going to unpack that in a little
fucked bit. Fucked with a couple Geminis. Okay. We're going to unpack that. Okay, go on.
If I was a therapist, I would work this into my practice so much. Right. Anyways. So you enjoy long-term studies. And if like your family circumstances don't allow this, you will teach yourself. So basically, if your resources aren't there, you're going to find out the information for yourself.
Yeah.
You're serious and methodical in your work. And it just reminds me of how like your job right now is dictation.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then perhaps liking to visit the elderly and intellectuals who enrich their mind. And who are you friends with at work? And who does your angel reading? Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
And then potential weaknesses this, though, like a sense of contraction that comes, especially with effort, is that if you have a sense of feeling bad luck, you have, like, some disappointed hopes. So it's, like, that effort of, like, if you feel it's going to be bad, it turns out to be bad in a sense.
Yeah, okay.
And that. And then your Uranus is basically your individual liberty, in which we all have the same matching ones, which is Capricorn. And then that is, can have some problems assessing his intuition. Some sense, common sense often dominates. You are a great battler. He has so much power that he thinks no one can defeat him. His mission in society in the world can mean everything to him when he sets his mind to it and may question traditions and be very open to redefining what success means and changing up traditions.
I like that.
Yeah, and that's like, think about like the millennial generation. That's us to a T.
Yeah.
It really is. That's us. And then another one we all share is Neptune, which is your non-egotistical liberty. So what you think about externally, and you got discerning, wise, and sensible.
True.
And then your Pluto is Scorpio, and Pluto is transformations. And this is also like a very intense type of sign. And with Pluto and Scorpio, which we all share, is a fear of betrayal, sensual and passionate people. We're very passionate.
Oh, yeah.
as a generation. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing. You got your Lilith, which is one of the last ones we're going to talk about before Ascendant. So Black Moon Lilith represents our darker, deeper natures that may be repressed or buried. So it's interesting that your Sun and your Lilith are both in Capricorn, because like you're proud of who you are and you express that, but at the same time, you might repress some of it as well. Mm-hmm. So he may have felt wrong for his desire to excel or succeed or to reach for worldly goals and ambitions. Mm-hmm. And he may feel uncomfortable around people who seem materialistic or status conscious, or particularly people who aren't practical or they aren't ambitious.
The ambitious part, yes, but like I can be around highbrow people and not care.
Yeah. It can be hard to connect with his own ambitions and needs approval. But going there and allowing himself to feel these needs can be life changing.
My worst enemies are listening to this podcast and fucking taking analytical notes about me and shit. Wow, yep. Nene, you're setting me up for this. I knew it.
There you go.
That bitch, I knew you
there
were.
You go. So yeah, and then if you wanted to dive deeper into it, like you have your houses, which is basically, I'm just going to give like an overview. So like your houses are basically the sky is broken up into sections, and those are the houses. So there's 12 houses, and then where the planets are in your placement, they also in the sky, they also fall into houses. And each house has a different meaning. And so if you have a lot of planets that are in a certain house, that can be an important like part of your life. There could be a lot of meaning in what that house means. So for instance, if you have a lot of planets in like the house of family, family could have a large impact on your life in general. And for you, Keith, your houses with the most planets in them are the third house and the fourth house. So your third house is... So your third house and your fourth house are going to have like the biggest pieces of in there. Mm-hmm. And let me get to that one. So your third house is the area of social and intellectual learning.
Dope.
And you have four planets in there. Dope. And then your fourth house is the area of home, family roots, and deep emotions of self-worth. And you got another four there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like not here to tell your future. It's just like lays out a blueprint, right. You know? It just says like, hey, this is what could be going on in your life. This could explain some things that you're going through and how you communicate, how you interact with others. And, you know, some of it's contradicting, but also like people are contradicting. You know what I mean? And how that goes. Life is. But I feel like yours is pretty on.
Yeah, I agree with most of it for sure.
How do you feel about it?
No, I see a lot of it. What about with the right? So isn't it with like your rising, correct me if I'm wrong, like isn't your rising how like other people like see you?
So ascendant here, so with your ascendant, it's like the image that is seen by others or like large influences of your life. So some people and different people who do astrology have different understandings of what this all means, of course, but some people see it as like your first impression that others get of you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Or it could be like how you act in life as opposed to like who you are. You know how like some people, you're like, why would they make that choice? How some people are some way, but they have like different actions. Or it could be like your main attitude, but a lot of people do see it as either like your major influences or like how you're first seen by others, and go from there. So yours is Libra.
Yeah.
And this is the first line. Ascendant is Libra. Everyone seems to like Libra ascendants. Yes. They just come across as nice, pleasant, and fair. Which, like, thinking of you when people first meet you, like, you're so light, you're so bubbly.
Yeah.
You're such a sweet Most person.
Really like me, to be honest.
It literally, these people attract others that seems in a way that's almost effortless. Yeah.
I mean, when restaurants were open, like, going out to eat or, like, in stores or whatever, like, people just feel, like, so, like, comfortable and open with me to, like, tell me their, like, life story. And we're, like, best friends by the end of the meal. And my friend Audrey, who's, like, in town from North Carolina visiting for Christmas, like, we usually always go out for our birthdays and stuff when she's home from the holiday. And she's, like, how do you make friends with people? Like, literally everywhere we go. Like, you're just, like, talking to someone. I'm, like, people just, like, I don't know if they just feel, like, comfortable. I don't know if they do it with, like, everyone. But, like, people just tell me so much shit about them. Just, like, just let it all out. I'm like, I must have that energy.
You just give off that vibe. You're just very easygoing at first. You know what I mean? Like, people meet you. And they're, like, they're so chill. And I think about this, too. Like, this even says it here. Like, you pay a lot of attention to personal appearance. Mm-hmm. And not in a bad way. You're just, like, very attentive to it. Your hair, your colors that you wear, making sure that they like, look good on you.
I mean, and I wore my Grinch hoodie when I went to get Taco Bell for lunch today, but hey.
As long as you look good, oh, boo, right?
I did. I was like, you know what? It's Christmas time. I'm going to wear my Grinch hoodie to Taco Bell.
And the best part here that I love about this, too, is that basically, their close relationships are often characterized by bickering or competitiveness.
Oh, yeah. That's, you just bounce off each other. And we're like that.
Exactly.
That's how this podcast fucking started. Yeah, no, I agree, like, with a lot of it. I mean, like, I am definitely a homebody. I can wear my emotions on my sleeve. But also, like, I feel like as I've gotten older, like, I've become like kind of more confident in what I want, so like I'm not like scared to say no anymore. You know, when you're like younger, like, you know, bopping around, don't know which way is up. But like, I think in the last few years, like, I've kind of evolved into, like, I mean, yes, I'm still an anxious person and I analyze everything from every angle, and like, you see that thought process of me, but like, I'll speak my opinion.
100%. And like, it's so interesting too, because thinking about like who you are as this Capricorn is very kind of black and white. That's what Capricorns are. They're like the masculine sign of the zodiac. They're very black and white. That's that type of thing. But then also knowing you when you're like scamming because you know the rules, but you know how to get around them. And that's that ascendant Libra.
Exactly. It's like such a good mix. And it's interesting with, so how many of my signs were in Sagittarius? Weren't there like three or four was Sagittarius? Because
you had one, two, you had two.
Because that's technically, I mean, I identify mainly like as a Capricorn, but like I am Sagittarius, Capricorn, cusp, because the cutoff's the 21st and I was born the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right
there.
Yeah,
but I feel like I don't know. Like, I mean, I get along with Sagittarius people, like, generally I feel they're nice and quirky, but I guess I don't know, I guess I have more Capricorn traits when it boils down to it.
Yeah, because I mean, that's like, that's you, that's your sun, and then it's like all of these other influences are where they all come out in different ways. Like, you know, you have deep down your Capricorn, but then like how you communicate it sometimes has this type of vibe, or how you express this has this type of vibe. So yeah, no, it's very true. But you have so much Capricorn in your chart, taking in your Lilith and all of that stuff. Like, and it's just interesting that your ascendant is Libra, but you only have one other like air sign, and it's your Aquarius.
Yeah,
it's just interesting, and that you have Capricorn, but then you also have Virgo, which is another Earth sign that's in there.
I thought I'd have more Virgo. And like, if you,
No, because I Virgos and I are not
compatible. You said that about Capricorns, so. But you and I get along.
Yes, but here's the thing, because where Capricorn is in your chart is acceptable.
Oh, thank you.
Because my Capricorn, I have a Capricorn ascendant and I'm a Libra rising. We are the exact opposites in that instance. And that's why it works. But when someone doesn't have a Libra, like my mother doesn't have a redeeming ascendant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say redeeming quality. I said redeeming ascendant. Okay. There's a difference. But yeah, no, like, because that's the thing, Libra. So one last thing before we go into mine quickly and then cut this one short. But when you also think of like the zodiac itself, you've got like groupings of the signs. So at the like the beginning of all of the signs, starting with Aries and going to Cancer, those are seem to be like the young signs. So they're very emotional. They're very like quick to act, kind of like headstrong in a sense, and they wear their emotions on their sleeve. Then you get to the middle of the zodiac, which is like Leo through Virgo. And those are like the midlife signs. Those are the signs that are like learning to balance their internal emotions with external stimuli and working on where they fit in the world and not being so focused on their emotions on their sleeve, but also trying to be light within the world. Then you have the last part of the zodiac, which is Sagittarius all the way to Pisces, which includes Capricorn and Aquarius, and they're like the wisdom signs. They're like the old age signs, to where like they're thinking constantly about like the world and thinking outside of themselves as opposed to internally. And they know the world works in a certain way and they know how they fit into it. So it's very true for you as a Capricorn. That's like the world is black and white and I know how I fit. Or like as a Libra, we're like the middle age of the air sign and we're trying to be like, yeah, everything's good. We can balance both.
Right. I can't have it all. Right.
Yeah. As opposed to then like a Gemini who gets a bad rap because they're like an emotional air sign, or Cancers when everyone's like, they're so intense. Yeah. Because they're like young kids in a sense with their emotions, or Aries that are very headstrong. So there's a lot of different intricacies for sure. Yeah.
Wow, that is very, and I love that Capricorn's like the fathering sign, because I feel like in our relationship, like I sometimes say like fucking old dad checkup things, like when you called me and said you went to the dentist, and I was like, how many cavities did you have? Like my
immediately.
What'd you get on that test?
And every time I say I got 100%, you're like, of course you did. Not like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. You're like, of course you did. I knew you could. It's
yeah, I don't
like
want to boost your ego too much. So, Stacey, I want to hear about you. Like, what makes you tick? Like, what's in that Libra-ass mind of yours?
Oh goodness, well let me tell you, it is exactly what I say, because I have the same sun as I do moon, so how I am on the outside is what I'm thinking on the inside. Now here's really quickly, my sun is Libra, my moon is Libra, my Mercury is Scorpio, my Venus is Virgo, my Mars is Scorpio, my Jupiter is Libra, Saturn is Aquarius, Uranus, Neptune, Capricorn, just like yours, and then my Pluto is Scorpio, just like yours, but my Lilith is Aries, which is interesting because Aries and Libra are sister signs. They're exactly opposite of each other on the zodiac.
So you like to fight.
One would say. And then my ascendant is a Capricorn. So I have five cardinal signs, which are like high intense energy signs that are just, you know, woof. I have four fixed signs and only one mutable. So only one sign that can be like influenced and all of that. Now, so here's another interesting. Oh, 100%. Now here's another piece. I got zero fire in my chart. Lilith technically isn't in the chart, so I have zero fire. I have three earth, four air, and three water. So, yeah. So if we think about this, I got my sun in Libra, which is in the sense that I like let me get the right one here.
Okay. Just lose
so,
it.
What's Sun and Libra, they're generally thought to be sociable, somewhat intellectual souls. Okay. They have almost an innocent way about them that makes them very approachable, eager to cooperate, and spend a lot of time trying not to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. And they like to be a part of the group. They like to mix with people and seek partnerships. They respect justice. They assimilate quickly, but weaknesses, they may not think enough.
Pull the trigger a little too fast.
So many of my choices. They are frivolous, and they are easily swayed by group pressure.
Yikes.
So then think about that, and then we got my my moon is also in Libra, and again, focusing on partnership, because Libra is all about balance, so they have a strong need for partnership. Without someone to share their lives with, they feel utterly incomplete. This is why people in position get involved in marriages or living together arrangements quite young.
Double yikes.
Because they drive for harmony, peace, and sharing. Bar lunar Librans are apt to do a lot of conceding. They are sympathetic and concerned for others. Mental rapport with others is especially important to them. They are sociable and popular, good judgment, intelligent, and reasonable, but instability in loving relationships, wavering, and they may give too much weight to others and their opinion of them. So that's like Libra, Sun, Libra, Moon. Very much outside, same inside, right? Now let's go into the Mercury is Scorpio. So my communication is Scorpio. Emotional, but with a sting.
Perfect.
They are extremely observant and astute, always reading between the lines and looking for real meaning behind things. Passionate speech, excellent in strategy, natural psychologist. And I always wanted to be a psychologist.
There you go. I like it.
And it's so
you give pretty solid advice.
I do. Oh, I'm so glad you think that. Okay, give it to me. Okay.
You're like, that's the first compliment you've given me this month.
Ever. Ever. Now listen to this Venus in Virgo. So okay. Here's the thing. Here's where I'm like, my stars did me dirty, because think about this. My sun and my moon, I'm all about partnerships and harmony and love. And it's Libra's a romantic sign. And now listen to my first line of Virgo, because I have Venus and Virgo and they're an earth sign. And it's my first one in my chart. And it says Venus and Virgo people are not the flirtatious sort.
But you
and
are.
I mean, I'm a natural flirt because I'm a Libra, but when it really comes down to it, how many times do I tell people this all the time? Like, I cannot, if I find someone attractive, I cannot flirt with them. I'm always like, people don't, like, I'm the one, I'm like, I'm going to be the solid choice at the end of the day, but when I have to go up to a bar and, like, flirt with someone who I think is attractive, I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, you do read a lot into your text messages.
I do.
Remember I'd help you like edit text messages for like half an hour? I'm like, it's not that serious. Send it.
Yes. I can't.
Meanwhile, 2 a.m. text from Keith, what you doing? Like, it's not that serious. So
I'm a very I've got like a
okay, I'm done. Sorry.
So I got all of this like need for partnership and all of this stuff, but like deep down when it comes to my like relationships with others and my Venus, they're very devoted, but not all, they don't always show emotions.
Okay.
So just like you said, you had to help me craft text messages. Listen to this. They don't always let themselves go, either through fear of ridicule or through fear of not being loved as much in return as they love.
Yikes.
Yeah. Ouch. So, and also they're careful with money. And look at me. I'm so careful. I'm constantly about frivolous spending and being so careful.
You're generally pretty careful.
Yeah. Do I want to spend frivolously? I would say yes.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that's life.
Yeah. So that's that. So then we've got Mars in Scorpio.
And of course, physical energy, and it's in Scorpio. So just think about that for a second. And basically, they love to challenge ourselves to do the impossible. And basically, we throw ourselves into what we want to do with concentrated energy and a ton of willpower. And, you know, people who have Mars, Scorpio and Mars, are formidable opponents. Sometimes they can be quiet, but they keep their cool and equilibrium on the surface. But internally, it's a different story. Yeah. So
I see you.
Yep, and love this. The sexual stamina of this person is thought to be the strongest of all positions in life.
Wow, it's reading you.
And listen to this. Sometimes Mars and Scorpio people are attracted to taboos. What can I say?
Are you?
Listen, let's think about my marriage for a second. But anyways, but yeah, so there's that. We also know life isn't fair. So sometimes you got to deal with it. So yeah, that's my Mars.
Ouch.
Mars is Scorpio. It's true.
Girl asked you if there's a God and you said no?
No, flat out.
I will remember that forever. I was there. I witnessed it. Okay.
One of my crowning moments.
It's embedded in my memory.
So now we're on to Jupiter again.
Venus.
Grace.
Okay.
And I'm back into Libra.
Classic.
So they attract the most good fortune when they are fair-minded and treat others equally. They bend without being a doormat, are gracious, and use their talents for promoting and mediating. They value people and relationships and might succeed best in partnership. Again, partnership is very important. Relating as equals is important. And then it says the arts, architecture, law, math, meditating, and politics are possible avenues for success. They use charm and grace to reach their goals. And then further into it, because of where it is in my house, like in my houses, it says they are interested in the occult.
Spooky.
I know, and I'm so into all of that aspects of my life. And then again, partnership can help financially, so I'm marrying rich, and my spouse is going to have lots of money.
You're a warlock, we know.
Thank you. Now, my Saturn is in...
Thank you.
My Saturn is in Aquarius, which is the same as yours as well.
Love.
So, basically, we will teach ourselves if we can't get that provided to us. Serious and methodical in work.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to visit people who can teach me things. And sense of feeling of bad luck, feeling of like a daunting aspect over us. And then I have the same Capricorn for Uranus and Neptune as you do. And then the Pluto is the same as Scorpio, generational again. Now my Lilith is an Aries. And what that is, of course, is your deep, darker natures that can be repressed. And there can be some fear with a Lilith and Aries for taking the lead, asserting oneself, and making executive decisions. They need to be learned throughout the lifetime, but it can be empowering when learned. And I'm learning to do that with myself. So,
nice.
Now, the last thing is my ascendant is in Capricorn. And so basically, again, sun is how you are. The Capricorn is how you're perceived at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually has to deal with how you are in work. So there's a seriousness to Capricorn rising people that is unmistakable. Even when they're joking around, it's of the deadpan variety. In fact, plenty of very humorous people have Capricorn ascendants. It's all in the timing.
Yes.
Capricorn ascendant people project competence. They simply ooze it. They're generally very image conscious people. The clothes they wear, their manner, it's a really big deal to them. They want to appear successful, and they generally succeed. Sometimes it's forced on them through family conditioning. So parents may label a Libra ascendant child as the nice one and the Aries as independent, so on and so forth. But for Capricorn, these were children who were considered the responsible ones. So let's just put that in perspective of my life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then... So often Capricorn rising people adopt a strong sense of tradition, family, and responsibility from young age. And then at the last part, basically Saturn rules as ascendant, and this generally means kind of the backwards way of living. As a child, they're serious and bear responsibility, and as they grow up and they age beautifully, learning how to loosen up.
Aww.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. So
do you agree? Do you agree with a lot of it?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like even going more to like think where the houses are and all of that other stuff. All of my houses are in the back half. I have nothing in the first half besides my Saturn and Lilith, which are in the first and second house. And then I've got 2 in 7th house. I've got 4 in my 8th house, 2 in my 9th, and then 2 more in my 10th.
When the moon is in the 7th house.
Yeah.
And Mercury aligns with Mars. Nice.
So, yeah, there's a lot in there. No, I feel like it matches me, especially diving into it and, like, now I'm getting into like aspects and like where they are in relation to each other. And it's really refreshing. Refreshing.
Remix. Wow. That's awesome. Well, if any of our listeners want a chart reading, you can Venmo.
Just fucking get on the Patreon, people.
Yeah. If you're at the $6 level of the Patreon, Stacey will do your chart.
Dude, I would totally do that for like people's birthdays and stuff. Send me all your digits.
You're like your social, what time you were born, your mother's maiden name, what city you were born in,
the street you grew up on,
the name of your first pet,
your grandmother's maiden name,
your first childhood friend. Just put all that in an email.
Yeah, just send them all over.
No, I mean, join our Patreon. DM us.
I would totally do it, though. Like, anyone wants one, why not? I could totally do it. Because also, too, I'm trying to learn how to do it without, like, just looking at, like, mapping it out. And looking at the placements, I'm trying to learn, teach myself how to do that. Nice. So I'd love some practice for anyone who would like to see what's up. Why not?
So just to share, I'm going to have to pull it up really quick. What our Patreon, I think it's just 2 hoots and a holler, but I don't know if I've ever like said our actual like URL. So maybe people have been trying to find it.
Yeah, and they've been to some dark places of the internet to find it, I bet.
Exactly. The dark web. Where's my here's the Patreon app. Okay. Let me hop on really quick. I'll new version required. It's 2 hoots and a holler. So just to test it, I'm gonna type in patreon.com/2HOOTZ and a holler. Oh, I typed it into Google search. What the?
Keith.
Stacey. Did I ever tell you about the time I was up north with my dad and we were at like a. Oh, that's why. Like a McDonald's or a Burger King or something. And. And this, well, the manager, I assume, she was like, we got 60 nuggets on the board. She's like, go faster. And then the poor workers are working. And she's like, do. I was like, she was really going at them. Yep. Okay, everyone, go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/2hootsandaholler. That's the number 2HOOTZ and a holler. And our 3 memberships are $1 per month. You're at the hoot level and you'll get a selfie from us. 2 hoots level is $3 a month. We'll write you a fucking housewife's tagline. And then $6 a month, you are at the fucking holler level. And you're going to get all of our benefits, a shout out from us, and a reading from Stacey.
Yeah, come on. You like this It's the cheapest natal reading you could get.
Literally $6, and it's very accurate.
$6 make me holler. Like, let's go.
So we don't have any yet, but that is the exact URL, so you can go to it and become a subscriber. Maybe that person who listened to 16 episodes in a day wants to become a part of our Patreon. Reach out to us. Come on.
Yeah, let's go, Brooklyn Jean Palmaville.
That bitch is on episode like fucking 14, to be honest. Love you. Love you, Dr. BJPP.
Still has not emailed us though, but still love you.
And Stacey's signature email tagline is emailing is like texting, but in a different.
Where is the lie? Tell me I'm wrong.
You're honestly not.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. So, on that note, thanks for tuning in to our Zodiac themed episode.
Yes, and hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you're interested in your own natal chart and where the planets were when you were born. And I'm interested if someone also finds their chart and they want to chat about it. Also, you could email us there and we could chat about it too there.
Yeah, email us or subscribe to our Patreon, like, if you want more exclusive Zodiac content.
And I think we've got time for one more.
Laugh attack with stack bomb.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's make sure it's a good one. All right.
So you're going to try to find one to stump me.
No, I'm going to find one that you're not going to like fucking hate.
Good luck.
All right. What do you, this is from Hannah L. from Baltimore, Maryland. It's got a dog in it. You better like it. What do you call Lassie with a rose in her mouth?
Wait, what do you call Lassie with a rose in her mouth? A flower, a daisy. Daisy.
No.
Okay, what?
But you were on the right idea with flower. It's a cauliflower.
Oh, because Lassie's a collie. But yeah. Wouldn't you call it a collie with a flower? Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, that there's cauliflower. You.
I'm going to hang up.
They're misleading.
She went very hard on this one.
They're misleading. Like, I get it. I get, like, the pun. But, like, I'm just taking, like, a really, like, realistic route here. If you saw a collie with a ball in its mouth, you wouldn't say, oh, there's collie ball. You'd say...
Maybe if that was its name, you would.
The dog... No, the dog's name is Lassie.
How do you know? Maybe
you just said, what is Lassie called with a flower in its mouth?
Yeah, a cauliflower.
So if I see a collie on the street and has a bone, I'm like, oh, look at that collie bone. Oh, collarbone.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Look at that collie ball. No, I'd say look at that collie with a ball, or that collie has a ball.
Keith, it's a fucking Laffy Taffy joke. Laugh.
That Laffy Taffy joke does not dictate my narrative. I'm here to debunk Laffy Taffy jokes.
Literally, that's our next, like, spinoff. You, like, debunk popular jokes. You're, like, Mythbusters, but for fun.
But for, like, lighthearted jokes, I'm like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, that's the whole
thing. You got, like, all the red, like, you got all the pictures on the wall with the red twine, like, going to the
all connecting,
like...
each other. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. It's not funny. Yeah. I, like... You know what? This is going to sound like a cliche, but I will laugh at a joke if I think it's funny. And none of
these... Wow, revolutionary
Yeah,
idea.
Exactly. So therefore, comma, none of these Laugh Attack with Stacks joke have made me like genuinely like, ha-ha. Like, I guess that's not my...
Is every word in that sentence spelled correctly so I can understand what it means?
You know what? Go side with fucking Sally F. from fucking New Baltimore, Maryland.
It was just Baltimore, Maryland, but I mean, like, she sounds like she's a hoot, so.
Okay, well then, why isn't she on our Patreon?
Well, maybe she doesn't know about it.
Well, Sally, we just said your joke, we just promoed you. We have, like, over 300 plays.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor.
Like, how much money did Laffy Taffy give you for getting on that wrapper, though? Like, that's
probably nothing. When they mail it in, it's probably just like free will. Like, you don't get any. The payment you get is your name on the Laffy Taffy wrapper.
Is it like a Jones Soda, though, to where at least you get like a pack of the Laffy Taffy with your joke on it? Because, like, remember Jones Soda?
The pictures. Like, did that happen?
Yeah, dude, my friend said that all the time.
So if their picture was chosen, they'd get a six pack of it.
So basically, you could like go and put your picture on there into like a database, and you would like get the you would get like I think it's you would order it, and then you put your picture in the database, and then they could take it for the other ones.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess if Sally wanted a full box of Laffy Taffy with her joke on it, maybe they probably could have lined it up. I don't know. I don't know how the process flow works.
Oh my god, how cute would that be for my next wedding to do like the favors as Laffy Taffy rappers, but they have like quotes and things that I've said or my partner said. Fucking
egotistical. Quotes. What? Things I've said.
Funny jokes.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Or it could be like marriage quotes of like things to like keep in mind. Plus, my wedding's gonna be like what, five people, you and four other people who know all of my fucking.
Maybe
clips.
Brooke will fly in.
Maybe. If she's got room in the surgery schedule. Oh,
she's very busy this week with an extra special guest surgeon flying in to visit for the week. So.
Oh, well, I hope they're
you know what? They're consulting. Let's just say that. Okay. And on that note, kids.
Your boy. Oh.
Don't do drugs and keep in touch.
You know, submit all your jokes to Laffy Taffy and just keep in touch.
I'm going to modify that. Do your research before you sign off anything.
You probably should get some money from this at least, or at least get a few Laffy Taffys that have your name on.
But I don't think a lot of these kids like made these jokes up themselves.
No, I guarantee you these aren't even actual kids doing it. They just put it through like a random name generator
to make it seem like personable.
No, to be like, we need a name for a kid in a random city, and so they just pick Hannah
out. But why wouldn't they just put the joke? What's, like, the need of putting a kid's name on it to make it more, like, personable and friendly?
Yeah, so that people can interact. Because, like, why else would you get Laffy Taffys when you're younger besides the jokes?
I like banana Laffy Taffys.
Oh,
they are. I don't know what it is.
I still have... Listen, I've been eating these they might not be good for
you say
me anymore, but Banaffa Taffs. No, I'm eating all these banana Laffy Taffys from like a long time ago. Someone I was talking to knows how much I love candy, and you know how much I love candy. I'm like a candy person over a chocolate person sometimes. I love rock candy. I just love flavored sugar. And so they took me to a candy like warehouse where all of the candy was like wholesale prices, so cheap as fuck. I got like a 5-pound like container of banana Laffy Taffys I've been eating for years.
Oh, you still have it?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting these from. I still have all of this candy. I got enough dots to like dots on like the
paper.
The paper. I got enough of those to last me years. I've got rock candy for days. I had like a 10-pound bag of candy corn that I'm still working my way through. It's all sugar, so it doesn't go bad. But yeah, I got lots of it.
Give me a piece of rock candy.
Come get it, bitch.
Okay. I'm on my way.
Maybe I'll bring you one for your Christmas gift.
Just tie it on top of it.
Maybe I will. Yes.
Well... This might be a little long of an episode, folks.
It's a long-ass episode.
So, if you've tuned in all the way, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate
definitely.
It.
And we have a few more episodes coming up for you, including our season finale. And we'll take a little hiatus. And then we're going to dive into season 2 in 2021, baby.
2021.
Who knows what it'll bring us.
2021, let's finally have some fun.
Keep in touch.
Keep in touch.
All right. Bye, Zodiac.
Love you. Love you. Bye. Bye. Keep in touch.
Keep in touch. Always have you the last fucking word in.
Now, what's your name, girl? What's your sign?
Man, you must be about your mind.
Straight. Beer goggles flying. I'm just trying to unwind.
Now, I'm gonna make you dance. It's your chance. Yeah, boy, shake that ass. Oops, I mean, girl. Girl, girl, girl.